Let's go ahead and pray. We've got a few minutes. Let's all stand. The Bible said, when you stand praying, glory to God. And the Bible says, watch and pray. You don't have to keep your eyes closed. You can close your eyes. It's better to close your eyes sometimes. Let's go ahead. Let's all close our eyes and pray. Just me. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this time that we have to look into the Word of God. And so, Father, we invite the Holy Spirit. He's our great teacher. We invite him tonight to teach us these few minutes about this topic that we're looking at. We give you praise for all the revelation that comes. Lord God, you put things in my heart, and you will answer things in people's hearts and minds tonight regarding this topic. And so we thank you in advance for all those that are watching live online. We pray for them too, that they will get the same thing that we get here because of the Holy Spirit. There's no time and space or anything that would disrupt your moving here or wherever people are. You're everywhere. You're omnipresent God, almighty God, ever-knowing, all-knowing, all-powerful God. And we thank you as we yield our spirits to you and minds that you will deliver us and help us in this thing. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise God. Well, turn in your Bibles tonight to the 34th chapter of the book of Psalms. And we've looked at for a number of weeks now on Wednesday and Sunday. We looked at fear, the subject of fear. We talked about where it came from, or the origin of fear, and how fear affects people. And because we're made out of three parts, spirit, soul, and body, we talked about the relationship between the spirit, soul, and body, and how that intersects each other, how it affects each part of our lives. We understand the source of fear and why fear, why people have fear. And we understand this from the scriptures that fear came as a result of separation or death. And Genesis is the first account of where fear was mentioned in the Bible, the very beginning. Genesis chapter 3, I believe, 2, 3 there, talks about fear. In there, Jesus, God told Adam that if he would, if they disobeyed, if they went and followed their own way, partook of the forbidden fruit, and it's all there. And I don't have all the time to explain about the tree and all that stuff. But God says, if you eat of that tree, you will die. And we understand by looking at it, they didn't die immediately, but they died instantly spiritually. Death came upon those people there, those two individuals. Death came in the separation of God and man. There was a separation, a cutting away between the spirit of God and the spirit of man. Man, if you Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, theologians tell us there's hundreds of thousands of years existed between chapter 1, verse 1 and verse 2. Because there was existence of, the fallen angel was kicked out of paradise and he was roaming. And he had access to Adam like he has access to you and me today. And it's funny, we have spiritual problems today that you can't just solve just by counseling. And we need more than that. There's more. In our discipline in social work, our text, when I was teaching in the college the last couple of years, our text that I was teaching from, this is a secular text. This is not a Christian or theological text. By educators are recognizing today that man is just not an intellectual being or just a physical being. Man is also a spiritual being. Hallelujah. And I think that we're having a good look at that because First Nations people are emphasizing the spirit part. that man is connected to God and the land. There's connection somehow there. So we're more than just an intellectual being or a mental being or an emotional being. And so there was a separation of man and God. And so there was death. And so God talked to Adam, as we saw. And he said, Adam, where are you? And Adam says, I was afraid. And so I hid myself. He said, I was naked. Because man was covered with the glory of God in the beginning. And so we see that in there. And then we looked at other scriptures later on. We looked at Hebrews chapter 2, 14 and 15. And talked about in there that all their lifetime men are subject to the bondage of fear of death. And that's the separation of the spirit of man from the physical body. There is an eternal death where man is separated forever, eternal death from the presence of God. And that's in the scriptures. And so, physical death is just a separation of your spirit from your physical body. But on the spirit side, because Jesus said man must be born again in John chapter 3, verse 3 and verse 7. He said, you must be born again. There's no other way about it. He said, you must be born again to enter the kingdom of God. And then we see all through the traces in the scriptures in the New Testament, scriptures like Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 2, it talks about in there, chapter 1, it says that when you were dead, he's talking about man that's alive, when you were dead in your trespasses and your sins, that God quickened you. In verse 4 and 5 over there, it talks about that God had quickened you by his Spirit. Hallelujah. Or the Holy Spirit came into your life and made you alive. The word quicken means make alive. Because when the Holy Spirit enters into a person, comes into a man, he quickens and makes new your spirit. That's called a new creation, or what we call the born again experience. When I was in my denomination years ago, all my life I was in church, but I was not saved, or what we call born again. I got born again when I was 24 years old. And I was in college, I was searching, and I was going to church regularly. But somehow in my spirit, I just felt there's something missing. I was kind of like almost, there's something missing in my life. I prayed every day, I read spiritual books, I knew certain facets, because facets about the life in the spirit. I was going to AA searching, I was looking for something, I was going to church, reading different books. But I was hungry on the inside, and I came across a television program, thank God for TV programs, that preach the gospel, and Billy Graham came on. He said, you could be born again right now, wherever you are, no matter where what you're doing. So I heard the gospel, and I heard this for the first time, but it seemed like I heard it for the first time. I heard it before, but I heard it like I heard it for the first time. And he said, if you just pray, ask Jesus Christ, if you believe that he's the Son of God, pray and ask him, invite him in your life. If you've never done that before. Well, I had never done that before. I kind of did that in some way. I said, God, come in my life, when I was doing the third step of the AA program. That you ask God to come in your life. And funny that God, the Lord takes you through stages, and so you could receive him. And you see things. God will use things for you to see him. Amen? Amen? Yeah. How many understand that? Can you say amen?
Amen. Yeah?
So God will use different things to help you out. It's hard to get away from God. You got to want to get away from God, to get away from God. You can't, you have to just say, I'm out of here. So Psalm 34, let's go there again. Psalm 34. Seemed like we got a lot of business tonight. I got this new iPad. nice one. Psalm 34, 1 to 4. David says, bless the Lord. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Where his praise should be? Where does praise should be? Oh yeah, should we hear it? Yeah. Should we be encouraged to hear each other praise? Yeah. So we need to. We hear people cursing and saying all kinds of junk all week, and you're feeding yourself with all that stuff. We need to hear other people praise God, and give him praise and thanks. Has he done anything for you? Yeah. Amen. And we need to say that. So he says, his praise shall continually be in my mouth. When you praise God, you're saying something good about it, how good he is to you. And how wonderful he's treated you. Now, notice, he says, my soul. How many people know that you have a soul? You have a soul. Your soul is a part of your spirit, but not, it's different from your spirit. Your soul and your spirit are not the same. So people like to use the word soul and spirit the same thing. But the Bible divides it. If the Bible divides it, then it must be different. We see that in the New Testament and the Old Testament. The Bible tells us what we do after we're saved. We got to renew our mind, which is our soul. In other words, you have to do something with your thinking. You have to do something with your emotions. You have to do it with God's word. If you're going to praise God, you're going to have to make a mind change about, think about what he's done for you. And stop being so disrespectful and look at what God's done. And so your soul, you as a spiritual entity, as a spiritual being, you have to do something with your soul. You have to tell yourself what to think about. You have to take yourself and you know, allow yourself either to accept fear or reject fear or to feel fear by meditating on the negative. We'll see those in Scripture as we look at the Scripture some more. We are not to be, controlled by fears. There's all kinds of them in this world. He says, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. In other words, you know, when you're praising, you're telling about God and how good he is and boasting about how great he has been in your life. He says, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. In other words, the humble are those people who are depressed and downcast. When they hear you talk about how big your God is, they will all of a sudden get energized to receive faith and believe God. And he said, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Not magnify the problem, but magnify the Lord. Magnify what he's done in your life. Make him big in your life. Make him bigger than the problem. Let us exalt his name together. In other words, it's time that we praise God together. Now, come on, people, lift your hands and say, thank God. I'm alive today because of Jesus. Say, thank God. I'm born again. Yeah, see? See, I can hear you praising. That encourages me. You know, what if you went to a hockey game and nobody says anything? And your team scores and they just look at you. That's not uplifting. Huh? But so we need to learn how to give God praise in church. Not just when your favorite song comes on. And so, he said, I sought the Lord and he heard me. Notice the last phrase. And he delivered me from all my fears. All my fears. Hallelujah. Now, this guy had some things to fear, but if you read his story, read his account of what was going on in his life, at this time, at this recording, he was running away from the king, hiding in caves for fear of his life. And for no good reason, the king was trying to kill him. Do you ever felt you were unjustly treated? He said, I'm going to praise the Lord anyway at all times. See, you give God praise because he's going to get you out of this thing. So notice John 14, 1. I'm going to read this in the Amplified Version. John 14, 1 and verse 27. He said, do not let your heart be troubled. Now, that word troubled can be translated as being afraid or being fearful or being cowardly. If you're cowardly, whose fault is it? Huh? It's your fault that you're afraid of cancer. Hello? It's your fault if you're afraid to lose your job and you're intimidated. And so we need to understand what God's saying here. Notice he says, do not let your heart be troubled, or do not let it be afraid. He says, believe confidently in God and trust in him. So it tells you right away how not to be afraid. By being confident in God. If you're not confident in God, then you got to get to know God. And the only way to get to know God is not move up to heaven right now, but to get into his word. God and his word are one. It's inseparable. You and your word are one. What you say is who you are. You know, you're as good as your word. You say, well, I'll show up. Yeah, I think I'll help you. And you don't show up, and you don't ever help because you said you're going to help, and no one believes you now. Whose fault is it? God's? Is it the devil's fault? No, it's your fault. So we don't just trust people because they happen to be, you know, whatever. We trust people because they earned that trust. So when we walk with God, we trust him because we see him working in our lives. We confidently trust him. So he says in here, have faith, hold on to rely, and keep going and believe in me. Verse 27, peace I leave with you, my perfect peace I give to you. Now I understand this. I've saw this in other versions of scripture. The Bible says that peace is a gift given to you. That you can, God will give you his peace. Jesus left us his peace. Hallelujah. In a time of troubles, he can give you peace. Hallelujah. And drop that right inside you, and you're going to have that peace inside you. That's one of the fruit of the Spirit, is, you know, I guess, is to have peace in your life. Yeah. To have control of your life. So he says, do not let your heart be troubled. Again, he says, do not let your heart be troubled. Or fearful. Do not let it be afraid. Or do not let it be afraid. Let my perfect peace calm you down in every circumstance. Notice that. In every circumstance. And give you courage for strength in every challenge. You know, I don't know what you're facing today. I don't know what fears you have. But you can have peace. And you don't have to be cowardly. And we can face every one of those challenges that would try to intimidate you to be fearful or to have anxiety. We have plenty of reasons to be afraid. But God says, don't do it. Turn to your neighbor and says, don't do it. Now, notice that. I want to give you something here. Do you fear the future? Many people today are looking at their future with fear and trepidation because there are many unknowns in their lives. So they fear the future. They fear getting old. I don't know if you're here, if you're getting old, the first sign, you know, first gray hair, you say, oh. You know? You're afraid. Okay, some of you got plenty of gray hair. You must get, I don't know if you're afraid or not, but anyway. They fear getting old. They fear changing jobs. They fear changing careers. They fear relocating. You know, I got to change. I got to buy a new house. I have to move from my apartment to a house. I'm selling my house and moving to an apartment. I'm selling my apartment block and moving into a condominium. I'm going to move into my trailer. Oh, I mean, you know, there's plenty of changes, right? So people fear the turbulent economic times. They fear it's going to worsen. They fear that they'll have no job, no place to work and provide, you know, economic, whatever for their homes, for their children. You know, your children are going to college and, you know, you don't have enough money and you got to save money. Like right now, I'm trying to pay college and university and a special project and then save for my own living when I get old. I like the scripture that I say that Roma will die in a good old age full of riches and honor, just like David. That's my confession. Don't laugh at me. That's my confession. Amen? So, people fear they'll not have enough money to make ends meet. They fear the social conditions of their neighborhoods and cities. They fear the drug epidemic that's upon us, that we don't have enough resources to handle it. People fear their neighborhoods are getting more dangerous, of violence. They fear the erosion of our value systems that distinguish us as a Canadian or as a Christian nation, even. So people fear a lot of things. And so whatever the case may be, the Word of God says that we can face the future by trusting God, relying on Him. Depending on Him. He has it all covered. He has it all figured out already. He knew exactly where you're going to live. You know, I was reading a scripture over there a number of years ago. You know, how many people understand this, that God knows exactly where you live? The Bible even says that God even counted the number of, He counted your days before you were born in the book of Psalms. God counted, He knew exactly where are you going to live? He knew you're going to live. You know, He knew that I was going to come from Suckle Creek in Long Lake, Ontario. He knew where to find me. If God wants to find you, He knows where you live. You don't have to push your way through different things to be recognized and so forth, so on. That God knows exactly when to call you out. Sometimes you call you out when you think you're not ready. Like me, I was never felt ready for anything. Had always some kind of fear that I'm not going to be adequate. Such bad, self-esteem that, you know, why would anybody like me? I told my kids last night, I said, I don't know why my wife would ever love me. Why she would ever pick me? But now I'm so built up, I said, I don't know why she'd ever pick, why did I ever pick her anyway? I'm so wonderful, yeah. But you see, we get so insecure about things. I told my kids, I said, you know, I didn't realize, you know, how insecure I was as a man when I met my wife. How jealous I can become. How insecure I can feel. Because of my past, I was predicting my future because of my past. How many people know your future does not have to dictate? Or your past doesn't have to dictate your future. Isn't that right? You know, whatever happened to you before doesn't have to be your future. And people's value of you doesn't dictate your worth. Just because somebody doesn't like you or think you lower doesn't mean that's who you are. But everybody has an opinion. I just like to say it's your opinion, then praise God, I got mine too. I know who I am. I'm in Christ Jesus. I'm born again. I'm valued by God. And so when people say, I remember when I first became a minister and they called me. In fact, some of my school college people said to me, you know, Roma, is that really you? I can't believe that's you. You know? And so but I think, you know, when you get saved, people think that for many, many years later. In fact, people from my reserve, some of the older people, think I'm still that little boy. Sometimes I am. Sometimes you are that little bad kid. I used to climb trees when I was a kid. And they gave me a name, and don't you tell anybody what it is. What is fear anyway? Fear, the dictionary at least says this, fear is a distressing emotion caused by the expectation of pain or danger, threat. Whether it's real or imagined, fear will affect your spirit, soul, and body. How many people know when you fear? Your brain doesn't understand all this stuff because you have to tell it something. You know, how many people have ever been on one of these rides, you just watch it on the screen and you're going, wow, wow. You get these sensations, it's like you're right there. And you're watching a movie and you're yelling and screaming and everything else. But your body's racing and all that stuff. That's what happens to people when they fear. They get anxiety attacks. I was one that had anxiety attacks for many, many years until God delivered me from anxiety attacks. After coming off, using, I used to have lots of fear for many, many years and had, as I mentioned to you before, what they call today PTSD. At that time, they didn't call that PTSD. You just call you a scaredy cat. You imagine all that. Yes, it's in my mind, but it's real. I said those anxiety attacks when I fell on the ground was not imagining. I'm suffering something. But today we call them fancy names. Psychologists, they dream up, they figure these things out. But I realized, at that time I didn't realize I suffered from all that stuff. Wake up with panic attacks and sweating and fear and just all of a sudden find myself running somewhere because I'm so afraid. But God delivered me from that. Panic attacks. I'd be in some office somewhere, all of a sudden I'd get this panic attack, running around like a chicken. And people say, what are you doing? I just said, I'm just doing my dance. But you see, God has already, according to Psalm 34:4, says that God has already delivered us from all our fears. If we come to God honestly and say, God, I really have a fear of this and fear of that. Different things trigger us to get into fear. And a lot of times, fear is all about loss, separation, and death. We fear being separated, losing something. So God has already delivered us. According to Psalm 91, it says, not one evil will occur because God will protect you or us if we stay in his will. If we stake our faith in him. Notice Psalm 91. Psalm 91, chapter 91, verse 1 to 16. I'm reading the New Living, says here. Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Well, if you're in the shadow of the Almighty, ain't nobody going to get you. The evil can't get you. I was listening to a Satanist who became a Christian. He was a Satan worshiper since he was a small kid. I don't know if you saw some of that. In fact, I think Sandra saw that live, right, Sandra? She saw him. And he said, when he was a Satan worshiper, they had to, do all these things that they do to worship Satan with blood and everything else. He said one of the easiest, he used to kill people. He said the easiest people he could kill was denominational Christians who were not born again. Because they didn't understand, that you have to accept Jesus, you have to be cleansed with the blood, and the blood will cover you. How many people know that the Bible says the blood covers you continually? And the Bible says in Revelation, we overcome Satan by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. It's what you say makes God do things in your life. Hebrews 3:1 says that Jesus Christ right now sitting at the right hand of the Father, he's the author and finisher of your faith, and he will, he's the priest of your confession. In other words, what you say, he will make happen. Like Jeremiah 1:12 says, that God will make good as to whatever you confess in your life. And that's what Psalm 91 says. In verse 3, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge. He is my fortress. What do you say about your God? Is he going to help you? Is he going to strengthen you in the time of need? That's your confession. What do you believe about it? And Psalm 91 says, I'm going to say this about God. No evil is going to come near me. That's what it says in Psalm 91. Everybody say, no fear here. Say, no evil here. See, you have to be able to see that in the scriptures, be like the psalmist said. Well, we're going to read this. So he said that the Satanist worshiper said this, you know. He said that you can't kill a born-again Christian with the blood of Jesus around them. You can't penetrate that. Demons cannot penetrate that. You cannot, if a person is saying, Jesus Christ is my Lord, I'm in the shelter of his arms. No evil will come near me. If you believe that, that's what's happening in your life. He said this, I had a personal friend. In fact, his brother-in-law sits over here. His brother-in-law sat here every Sunday. I sat with this man over the years. He said, I was a traditional drummer we carried a certain kind of spiritual sacredness in our family for years. And we would drum and we would sing. And he said, when he got born again, he said the Lord showed him, in the book of Joshua, and when Joshua was confronted, when he talked to the people there of the nation of the Jews, he says, who will you serve? Will you serve the gods on the other side, over there in Egypt, or are you going to serve the God that we know now, the God of Israel? And Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. God forbid that we should serve any other gods. And he said, as a man who followed a certain kind of path in his tradition, he said, when we would drum, we would fight against each other with the medicines we used to use in our nation. He said, we would conjure up these spirits to fight certain people. He said, after I got saved, God showed me that we could no longer do that. I couldn't no longer do that. He said, yeah, you had to put away all your sacred utensils and stuff and put that away and burn it. He said, I found out after I got saved that you cannot penetrate the men that he was talking to later on. He said, you cannot penetrate the wall around a born-again Christian because of the blood of Jesus. You can see that through all in the Bible, that if we begin to, the Bible talks about that we should, recognize about the bloodline. There's life in the blood. Cover yourself in the blood. Believe in the blood of Jesus Christ. So, Psalm 91 clearly tells us, if you look at it very carefully, I don't have time to go through all the whole chapter, but let's see here. He said, those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare, or I say, about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God. I trust in him. When you trust in God, you rely on him, you depend on him, you have faith in him. I trust in him, for he will rescue you from every trap and protect you from every deadly disease. He will cover you with his feathers. He will shelter you with his wings. His faithful promises are your armor and protection. How many people know when you get assaulted in your mind by the enemy, you have to say what the scriptures say? When Jesus was assaulted by Satan, he said, this is what the word of God says. And you have to use, the Bible talks about the scripture is like the sword of the Spirit. It's the sword of the Spirit. Do not be afraid of the terrors of the night. That's a good scripture if you got night dreams. Do not be afraid of the terrors of the night, nor the disaster strikes at midday. Though 1,000 fall at your side and 10,000 dying around you, these evils will not touch you. Just open your eyes and see the wicked and how the wicked are punished. And if you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Most High your shelter, no evil will conquer you. No plague will come near your home. For he will order his angels to protect you wherever you go. They will hold you up with their hands, and you won't even hurt your foot against a stone. You will trample upon the lions and cobras and crush fierce lions and serpents on your feet. He's talking about demonic forces there. The Lord says, I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust in me, in my name. They will call upon me, and I will answer them, and I will be with them in trouble. Jesus said, do not be afraid. Don't let these things trouble you. I will rescue and honor. He says, I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue and honor them. I'll reward them with a long life and give them my salvation. So Psalm 34 says, all fears, he has delivered me from all fears. And then there's no kind of fear left to be worried about. There'll be no phobias, no insecurities, no attacks, no economic worries, no fear about children leaving you and never coming back home again. The world trains us to fear and have worries. Many people say, if you don't worry about me, you don't care about me. They equate that. Don't be troubled. As we saw in the 14th chapter there, do not be troubled by anything. Don't let your heart be troubled or afraid. He says in verse 27, don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let it be afraid. As I close, Psalm 27, verse 1 to 14 says, the Lord is the light of my salvation, so why should I be afraid? The Lord is the fortress protecting me from danger, so why should I tremble? When evil people come and devour me, my enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. That's talking about, sickness and disease. Your enemy. We're fighting enemies that's causing people to fall. I was thinking about Kathy. Kathy here tonight? She's with the kids. Kathy, Pastor Dave's wife, had an attack, I think, 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, something like that, or whatever it was. She was going to the bathroom, and she had a stroke. So she fell on the floor. And she remembered the scriptures, she's talking about this. She fell on the floor, this thing came over. She realized something was going on with her. I mean, to make a long story short, she stumbled over the dog, and Dave woke up. And she could utter only one word, stroke. And he tried to take her to the hospital right away, take her right away just the way she was. She was in her old pajamas. She said, no, put on. She didn't want him to take him right away. She wants to put some new clothes. She's having a stroke. Put my eyelashes on. And no. Where's my teeth? Or whatever. I'm just making this up. But anyway, she goes, she couldn't walk. She couldn't talk. And it's amazing. God had his hand in that whole thing. She's in the ICU for the weekend. But it was immediately God began to heal her, and she's on live stream and Facebooking from her ICU room. I mean, God is wonderful. Awesome. I can tell you different stories, and I mean, she's out by the weekend. Praising God in church. Woo! Praise God. I'm in recovery. We need to believe and trust the Lord at all times. She said to me, with tears in her eyes, she said, if I didn't listen to your teaching for those years, I would have been dead. You ask her. She was so grateful, she was almost kissing my feet. I mean, that's how grateful she was about it. We've had people call us, they said to me, Pastor Romo, watch you on television there. And he said, man, you're a lifesaver, man. You brought the word to me just on time. I was suffering, and had this and that. He said, thank God for the word of God. How many people thank God for the word to save you from your trouble? I mean, we can sit here tonight and listen to the word of God, comfort of the church. You might not need what I tell you today, but one day you're going to need what I'm telling you right now. You're investing in your future by listening to the word of God right now. Jesus said, you can always tell who's going to make it down the road. It's that person who takes the word seriously right now, and he's building his foundation right now before any storm comes. And that person, when the storms of life come, when their husband leaves them, when they lose a job, when somebody dies or something, they're going to stand. Don't make people your salvation. Make God your salvation. People say, I don't know what I do if my husband will die. Well, what will happen? Well, you'll live. Psalm 118, they sang about it here with those teen challenge guys. Psalm 118, verse 17 says, I will not die, but I will live and declare the works of the Lord. I want to tell about it. One of the biggest things about keeping strong in your faith is talking about how great God is and how he has rescued you. Tell your story to someone. If you haven't told your story to someone, find somebody today. You know, when I first got sober, I would go to the mental hospital and find somebody in there and talk to them and tell them what God did for me. I would go to the detox center regularly when I was living in Kenora, and I'd talk to the people in detox and tell them what God did for me. I would go to the meetings and tell what happened to me. I said, you know what, God, this is what I used to be like, and this is what God did for me. I would deliberately find somebody. I want to tell you something, what God did for me. Oh, hallelujah. I'm telling you, the more you say it, the more you get faith in your life. Say what the Lord has done for you. Trust in him. I'll give you one more scripture, and then we'll all go home and watch TV. Hallelujah. And eat chicken. Don't be troubled. Psalm, let's see here what you got here. You know, I wanted to talk about that fear is a perversion of faith. Fear expects the worst and the bad. Faith expects the good and the wonderful. Jesus said, you know, I mean, the Hebrews 11 says, faith is what? Substance of things hoped for. Faith has something to do with your future. Faith always expects the good. It's the substance of things you hope for. You know what hope is? Hope, by definition from Scripture, hope is not a maybe or there's a percentage something will happen. Hope from the Bible is confident expectation. I know God is doing something right now. He's getting ready right now. He's done it right now. I'm ready. I can't wait for it tomorrow. Woo! Glory to God. Something's happening. Confident expectation. Not like, weekend's coming. You know, I'm expecting something good. How about you? So Hebrews 11 says hope is expecting something good. So Psalm 112, verse 7, let's close with this verse of Scripture because I'll stay here all night. So Psalm 112, verse 7. How many, somebody got something tonight? Lift your hand if you got something tonight. If you didn't get something, I'm going to pray for you right over there tonight before you leave. Who else didn't receive anything? I got my faith guns right now. Okay. Are you ready? It's 8:20. The Leafs are on. Watch this. Psalm 112, verse 7, New Living. It's talking about people who trust God. Say, it says, they do not fear bad news. Why? Because they confidently trust in the Lord to take care of them. The word confidence has something to do with faith. If you look at the word faith in the Bible, you'll find that faith has to do with being confident in God, trusting and relying on him. If you trust and rely on God, you have no fear about tomorrow. Because you're gonna expect God's doing something good, and he's getting ready for it. There is a future for you. There is a good future for every person watching online and every person right here. The Bible says in Ephesians 2, verse 10, read this amplified. The Bible says that God has already, before you were born, prepared a good life. That he's already prepared good things for you to do. People for you to see. Things to enjoy. You know, 1 Timothy 6:17 says that God, you know, that God has richly given us all things to enjoy. Richly all things to enjoy. Jesus said in John 10:10, he says that, you know, I've come to give life, to give it more abundantly. The Amplified says that you might enjoy life. If you're not enjoying life, it's because you're not in God. If you're expecting bad, then you better get the good back in your life. The Bible says that I plan a good life for you. Jeremiah says that, Jeremiah 29:11. He said, I planned a good life for you. So listen, your future looks a whole lot better than your past. Say, everybody say, my future looks better than my past. Say, good is coming to me. I'm expecting the good. Let's go ahead and stand up. Praise God. Hallelujah. Father, we want to thank you tonight for the service in the name of Jesus. We thank you for your goodness tonight. We thank you for your operation of your Holy Spirit. I'm depending on the Holy Spirit tonight, his gifts in operation. Thank you for the things that you have done. I was talking to a young lady who gave me a message on Messenger yesterday. She said, I came in your church a couple of weeks ago. I walked into the doors. I felt the love of God in your church. I felt the presence of God. I felt God, the love of God in the sanctuary. I felt God's presence. I talked to a young man over the weekend when I was at the Teen Challenge banquet, a young man that I talked to. He said to me, I experienced the Holy Spirit for the first time in your church. I felt the power of God run right through my whole body, touch me. And you know, you don't have to be alone. God will touch you. He wants to touch you right now. Do not be afraid of cancer. Do not be afraid of death. Do not be afraid of anything. God says, I have conquered it for you. Jeremiah 41 says, fear thou not, for I am thy God. I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. If you're feeling weak and you're feeling bad tonight, God will be there for you, and he's there right now to uphold you and lift you up. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, our God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and of a sound mind. Romans says that, 16 says that God has not given the spirit to fear a bondage again, but has given you the spirit that cries out, Abba, Father. Thank you, Lord, for every person in this room. If everyone in this room right now is born again, you say, thank God that I'm saved. If you're not sure that you're not born again, if you're not sure, you can be sure tonight that you can make this a reality, that God will come in your life. If you're in this room right now, if you never invited Jesus Christ publicly in your life, this has been afforded an operation, a time for you to receive Jesus Christ today. If you've been away from God, and if you need to make a confession, come back to God, this is the time to do it tonight. Don't let fear dominate your life. Don't let fear dictate your future. Say, what if I lift my hand, and what if I'm scared? No, don't be afraid. The first thing to conquer fear is to face your fear and to look right at it in the eye and say, I will not be afraid of you any longer. Don't be afraid of man. Man's opinions don't matter anything. What's gonna matter for you in the next 25, 30 years from now? If you're here in this room right now, you said, I need to be born again. I need to be saved. going to ask you to lift up your hand and pray for you. I'm going to pray for you and pray with you. If there's somebody right now, at count of three, I'm going to look around. If it's you, I'm going to pray with you. There's somebody right here. One, two, three. Lift that hand up way up high. Say, I need to get saved. I want to come to Jesus Christ. I need to get born again. If that's anybody in this room right now. Thank you, Lord. If you're in this room right now, you say, I have been away from God. I haven't been living right. I want to come to God. This is another chance for you now to come to God. Just you lift your hand way up high and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody here right now say, thank you, Lord. I'm coming back home. I'm going to be saved. Anybody here listening and my son of my voice on a live stream right now, if that's you, you can just invite Jesus Christ today. Say, Jesus, come in my life right now. I believe you're the Son of God. You died for my sins. I believe the gospel that says you sent your Son to die for my sins. You can do that right now. Invite him in. Say, Jesus, call upon the name of the Lord. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You cannot say that enough. You cannot emphasize that enough. Don't miss heaven. Don't miss home. If there's anybody here right now that says, you know, I have a problem with fear, I want to deal with it tonight, I want you to pray with me. Is there somebody here that says, I want to deal with my fear? Anybody here? There's one person here. Anybody else? Two people. Anybody else? Say, I need prayer right now. I want to pray with you right now. And thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else? Say, I want to get rid of that right now. We'll get rid of that right now. Had somebody call me today. They said, I want to pray. Pray for me. I think my house is haunted. So right now, people are having problems with stuff like that. So if that was you, lift up your hand, and you should have lifted your hand, come right now. We're going to pray for you right now. Come in, right in front of me. We're going to pray for you right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. The Bible says, God has not given us a spirit of fear. Let's stand together, shoulder to shoulder. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and of a sound mind. A sound mind. Not a spirit of timidity, a fear of terror, a fear of being coward, but a spirit of authority. Spirit of power. The Bible says to resist the enemy and he'll flee from you. I call on the God of heaven, the name that's been given to me and you, to break the power of the devil, break the power of fear over your mind, over your soul, and over your body. Woo! There goes that power right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Woo! There goes right now the power of God delivering you right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Let's say this prayer together. Say, thank God. Say, thank God. I'm waiting for you too. Say, thank God. I am, not will be, presently, I am delivered from all my fears. I will not fear anything because God has already taken care of it. In the name of Jesus. Amen. There's somebody that's fear. They have a fear. I know they were fearing that something's going to come back on them. I don't know if you remember. The Israelites were coming across and they were being pursued by Pharaoh. You know, they were released as the Israelites ate the lamb, signifying Jesus, and they put the blood on the door of the houses, and the spirit of death came over, and no one in that house covered in that blood got killed. They were saved by the blood of the lamb. And they came out. And Pharaoh let them go, but he changed his mind. You know, how many people know the devil? He don't want to let you go right away. He's going to want to pursue you after you leave his camp. He's going to try his best to bring you back over there. But you know what? They were going there, and they saw them coming. They saw Pharaoh, and the enemy's coming, and they could sense the enemy coming. The boogeyman is coming, you know. He said, I'm going to get you. I'm going to get you. I'm going to get you. You know, have you ever been to a zoo and there's been like a big thing there and he wants to get you, but he can't get you? You know, the devil has no teeth. And Jesus declawed him. And the Bible says that, you know, we can resist him. Now, I'm not making fun of the enemy. I'm just showing you. The Bible says that God paralyzed, Jesus paralyzed the devil, and he can't get you. If a guy came in here, he's paralyzed, he said, I'm going to get you. He said, what is that guy? Is he crazy or what? That's what it shows you, a picture like that in the book of Colossians. The Bible says that Jesus paralyzed the devil, and he can't get you. He wants to get you, but he can't because the blood of Jesus covers you. And you cannot, he cannot get you. So they're coming, and you know what? God told Moses to tell the Israelites. He said, the enemy you see coming to you, you'll never see them again. And they never saw them again. The fear will not get you. I said, the fear will not get you. I said, the fear will not get you. Isn't that wonderful? He said, oh, yeah, that's pretty good. Eh? I mean, you know, that's wonderful. I mean, Brother Higgins said, you know, he had a fear of getting paralyzed. He had a paralysis as a 17-year-old boy. He was totally paralyzed. Like, you know, he couldn't walk in it. Couldn't hardly talk. And he got released from that. And when he got released, the Bible said, his story was he ran around his bed. Because he was so excited that he's free. Thank God. I mean, we're free right now. Praise the Lord. Amen. Lift your hands and thank God that we're free. We're free indeed. Thank you, Jesus, that we are free indeed. Amen. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're born again, aren't you? You're saved. I bless you in the name of Jesus. What's your name? Beverly, I bless you. I bless you leaving your home, coming out and going wherever God's with you, wherever you go. Do not be afraid of any accidents. Do not be afraid the enemy will strike your home with cancer or disease. Do not be afraid of economic insecurities. Do not be afraid of the future, for I have taken care of it, says the Lord. I have taken care of all of it, even before you were born. Do not be afraid of any one of your children, any one of your family, because I have taken care of them. He said, because you have served me, because you have come to me. He says, them that I come to me, I will come to them. I will protect them. The Lord says, I will change your children's hearts. I will change them because you have changed and followed me and my direction. If you take care of me, my home, I'll take care of you, says the Lord. Yes. Hallelujah. So take care of his home. Take care of the business there. Bless you. In the name of Jesus, the Lord has done it. Glory to God. I'm glad you rejoice. Amen. I'm glad that you rejoice with the Lord. Joyce is your name. That's not the gifts of the Spirit in operation because I know you. Rejoice in the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Amen. Blessing. Blessed be the Lord. Amen. Let's give these guys a hand for being so brave. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, God bless you. Have a wonderful evening. Enjoy your hockey game. Praise God.